Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in a sermon series titled, I Am. If you're interested in North Valley Church or our sermon podcasts, you can find us on our website, nvcmd.org. Good morning. My name is Dan. I'm a pastor here at North Valley Church. One of the things we like to do, you don't have to be on social media very long to realize that we all like taking pictures of ourselves. Selfies, that's a big deal. It took me a long time to transition into, okay, I'm going to take a selfie of myself. I have not mastered how you hold the phone when you do that. I've seen other people just snap, and it happens, and I haven't figured out. So I thought I would start this morning with some pictures of us, with some pictures of North Valley Church. So here's my first picture of North Valley Church. Everybody got that? Can you see us? Wave, okay. Is it hard to see? Yeah, okay. I can make it twice as big. Why don't we make it twice as big and see if that helps? Okay, does that help? Can you tell where we are? No, not, okay. What if I brought up the state of Maryland and I highlighted it so that we could maybe see it better? Okay, so I got the state of Maryland. Do we know where we are in the state of Maryland? Who knows that? Okay. So it's still very good. It's still kind of tough to see, isn't it? Way in that little dot. What if I brought up the town of Myersville? Right? Town of Myersville. If you had that, do you think you could find North Valley Church? We're on there. It all looks very different, doesn't it? What if I showed you this picture? Now, does this look like North Valley Church? Yay, okay. So that one, ooh, I'm okay. That one we can see and recognize. But you know what? All of those pictures were of North Valley Church. They were all North Valley Church, but depending on how far away you stand, you see different things. It looks a little different. Right? We come here and we get excited about parking lot, kids' playground, coffee. Just in case there's any confusion, it is okay to drink coffee here in the service at North Valley Church. I just gave you a bunch of snacks, so obviously the coffee is okay. But when you back up, you start to realize, man, North Valley Church is part of something else. There's North Valley Church, that's a building. We are actually the church. But as you back up from it, you realize, oh, you're part of the town of Myersville. Oh, we're part of the state of Maryland. Oh, we're part of North America. We are a piece of the planet Earth. And all those things matter. Right? When we start to think about who we are and the impact we want our ministry to have, all those layers matter of who we are. Sometimes we get focused on the narrow part. Sometimes we get focused on the big. I don't think there's a wrong. I just want to make sure that we do both. As we've been following along in the passage that we are doing in the book of John for the past couple of weeks, we've been on this for two. We're doing one more week of the same conversation. That's one of the things that the Apostle John did. He tended to focus on events that he thought were important, and then he delved down into them in detail. So we are going to be in the third week of this conversation that Jesus is having with this crowd of people. And I want us to be able to take a step back a little bit today. We'll talk about some of the details in the argument, but I don't want us to pass today without recognizing the bigger picture of what it is that's going on. I'm going to give away the punchline. This is the last sermon in this series, I Am. Jesus is actually going to tell us that he is God. We are in John chapter 8, and Jesus is just now in his ministry. He's actually nearing the end of his ministry, and he's just now shooting a flare up for the people around him. Hey, I'm God. When we started walking through the book of John, we recognized that he started out saying, hey, I'm the Messiah. He didn't shoot for God. He just started doing his ministry and letting people know, I'm the Messiah. It's something that he thought that they would be able to get. Sometimes I use the visual, you don't want to give people more than they can carry. So when Jesus was starting his ministry, he didn't want to dump it all on them at one time. He let them know, hey, I'm the Messiah. Here, start thinking about that and carrying that around. And then we went through a series called Challenging Norms, and Jesus was starting to push what was normally accepted during that time. What was it okay to do on a Sabbath? And during that time in conversations and ministry, he let people know, oh, you know what? I'm like related to God. I look at God as my father, and I'm his son. And he started to reveal to people, hey, I've got a close relationship with God. And in this series, Jesus is up in the bar. And today we're going to see Jesus say, hey, everybody, I'm God. When we look at the word, Jesus claims deity. Deity is another word for God. So Jesus is going to claim to us that he's God. So I want us to see that this is part of what Jesus' ministry is. That's the big deal of what it is that's about to happen. And we're going to talk about the ramifications and consequences of that towards the end of the sermon, which will happen in 12 minutes. Before we get there, I'm going to take an even bigger step back. I want to go back to the book of Exodus, because we kind of need to see this bigger picture thing that's going to go on. Jesus isn't actually going to say that. He's not going to say, hey, I'm God. He is going to take God's name, and he's going to apply it to himself. And so I want us to educate ourselves so that when Jesus does that, we recognize it. So we're going to back up to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, Moses is interacting with God. We are in Exodus chapter 3. Moses is at the burning bush, and he's having this interaction with God. God is telling Moses, hey, I'm going to send you to rescue my people from Egypt. And Moses says, you're nuts. I don't want to go. And part of the conversation is, Moses asks God, well, if I do that, who will I tell them sent me? How will they know I went? This is God's response. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. We are looking at an NIV translation of the Bible, but notice that the words I am who I am are all caps. That is the name of God. If you've hung around Christians for a while, you've heard people use the word Yahweh as in relationship to God. Yahweh is treated as God's real name. It comes from that phrase, I am who I am. If you transliterate that from the Hebrew to our language, and they made an attempt at this in the medieval times in our history, it came out Yahweh. So when we say Yahweh, we literally are quoting that. And if you've hung around North Valley Church, when you're looking at the Old Testament and you see the word Lord, L-O-R-D, and you see that all caps in your Old Testament, it is a replication of that phrase right there, I am who I am. But in reverence to God's name, they won't write it out, and so they just put the word Lord in all caps. And we know when we see that, we're referring to this verse right here. I am who I am is God's name. God says, I am. What that means is, right, this is a meaning translation. What that means is, I am self-existent. God's name proclaims his self-existence. God's name, Yahweh, proclaims his eternal nature. When he says that, he says he's existed before the universe, he will exist after the universe. I am who I am means I exist outside of any need or connection to creation. All right, everybody got that? Just humor me and go, yeah. All right, you're looking for the word I am. All right, when we see that, everybody go, oh, great practice. I need to hear that. We may need to open a window when all the oxygen gets sucked in and everyone does. All right, let's move on to our actual passage. When we step into this, a little review from last week, we are going to enter what sounds like a very harsh conversation. We are entering this conversation. Jesus has just accused this group of people he's talking to. He's just accused them of being of Satan being their father. Okay? So it's getting heated. People are getting a little passionate. And Jesus has made a very, very difficult claim for these people to hear. Jesus has said that. We are now picking up their response. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed? So we are now, anybody know what I mean when I say ad hominem attacks? I got a couple. Okay. When you're having a debate with somebody, you can be talking about the topic that you're debating. You can be giving surrounding arguments for that, or you can attack the person who you're debating with. Right? I'm talking about the topic. I'm talking about things surrounding the topic, or I'm making an ad hominem attack. We're going to stop talking about the topic. I'm going to say that your mama's no good. Yeah. Right? When it results to ad hominem, when you're having those kind of discussions with people and it gets passionate and they start making attacks about who you are, just give it up. We're not going to be able to get back to the topic. We are now there in this conversation. These folks are saying, aren't you a Samaritan? Right, Jesus did spend some time in a Samaritan town. He did spend some time preaching to a Samaritan woman. Right, but now they're saying, oh, you think Satan's our father? Well, you're demon-possessed. That's literally what we're going on here. And Jesus responds, I am not possessed by a demon, Jesus said. But I know my Father, and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it. So if you're a note taker and you got your paper, you can underline, there is one who seeks it. And he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. Jesus is letting them know, you guys are now dishonoring me. He was trying to share with them what he saw as an honest observation. They have been acting and behaving like the devil was their father. And Jesus said that. So now they're making ad hominem personal attacks. And Jesus said, look, I'm not about glorifying myself. I'm doing what it is the Father has asked me to do. Now, I don't seek glory, but there is one who seeks it. He's talking about his Father. Side note for us, God the Father is seeking glory for himself. That's why he enjoys us coming together and worshiping him. That's why he enjoys us worshiping him Monday through Saturday. He is seeking glory and he is worthy of our praise. And Jesus always goes back to what the core of his message is. If you obey my word, you will never see death. Now, that's going to be misinterpreted by the people in the crowd, but let's make sure we know what Jesus means when he says you will never see death. When he says you will never see death, he's talking about a spiritual death. When we know about physical death, when this body gives up working and we're no longer on the planet, We transition to being in heaven if we're followers of Christ, and we are now experiencing our spiritual life. So we have a body, but we also have a spiritual component to our nature and who we are. We have an opportunity to spend eternity with God in heaven. That is spiritual life. If we don't have a relationship with Jesus and who he is, and we die, that is spiritual death. We will be eternally separated from God and who he is. So when Jesus is saying, if we follow him and do what he says, we will never experience spiritual death. We will never be eternally separated from God. Everybody say, whew. Whew. Okay. And I'm trusting you, Cindy. Take me on. Next. At this, they exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? If you are a note taker, underline that sentence. He died, and so did the prophets. So they are now challenging him with this idea of never experiencing death. That they are looking, right? If you remember the conversation over the past 2 weeks, they've been leaning into, we're Abraham's children, and that makes us okay. So they're leaning into their father Abraham, who they see as the founder of their faith. He is the epitome of their faith. And the crowd is pointing out to Jesus, you're not greater than Abraham, and he died, and so did all the prophets. What you're saying is not making sense. And they conclude this statement with, who do you think you are? Fascinating question. It's really the point of what it is that we're going to get to today. But they don't ask it out of curiosity and a quest of knowledge. They're not seeking information. They are doing it in spite. Who do you think you are? Anyone ever said that? Anybody in an angry voice? Okay, one honest person. Yay! Who do you think you are? That's what they're saying. Jesus is going to answer, but he's not going to start right yet. Jesus is going to get to the answer to that, but he gives them one more chance. He holds back a little more. He replies, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. So again, Jesus is creating separation. He knows who the Father is. He is doing what it is the Father wants him to do. If he continues to do that, the Father will glorify him. He doesn't have to do it for himself. But he knows the Father, and he's obeying what the Father says. And the people in the crowd are saying, we're sons of Abraham. We know who God is. He's our Father. But they're not behaving like it. That's why Jesus calls them out to be a liar. Jesus concludes saying, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. So when Jesus is saying that, we can look at it and go, oh yeah, God made a promise to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 3, God makes this thing with Abraham called the Abrahamic covenant. And the third point of that covenant is that all nations will be blessed through Abraham. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that final promise to Abraham. So when I'm saying, seeing this and reading it, I'm just wearing my Bible hat, and I'm like, oh, he's referring to Genesis 12:3. Abraham is going to rejoice at seeing Jesus' day because it fulfills the last covenant that God made with him. However, side note, if you read about Jesus' transfiguration in Luke chapter 9, right, Jesus is transformed in front of a couple of his disciples, and Moses and Elijah show up to the party during Jesus' day. So you know what? Could Jesus have just taken a break and go talk to Abraham one-on-one? Yeah. He was talking to Moses and Elijah. He can talk to Abraham. I would look at it and lean into Genesis 12:3, but I don't need to put Jesus in a box. He could have done that. The people respond, "You're not 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham? You're a nutso. How can you say that Abraham is going to rejoice at seeing your day? You've never talked to him." They're forgetting to read their own Bibles, right? Their Bible talks about Genesis 12 and the Abrahamic covenant. And Jesus replies, everybody ready? Everybody ready? "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. All right, because of all the things we talked about up until this point, when we saw that, Jesus saying, "I am," we got it. The crowd got it too. It did not go over their heads. That's why they wanted to stone him, because he just claimed to be God. I'm going to invite the band up. While they're coming up, I want us to wrestle with the question for ourselves. Who do we think Jesus is? I think many of us here would probably go, "Oh yeah, Dan, this is review. I know Jesus is God." But I want you to think about the people who may not be where some of us are, who already have a relationship with him. When people look at the life of Jesus, they walk away, "Oh yeah, Jesus is a good person. Oh yeah, Jesus is a moral teacher." Well, this person that you say is a good teacher and a moral person, a good person and a moral teacher, you're saying that about him, but he also performed miracles. He also rose from the dead, and he said he was God. You can't just say he was a good person and a moral teacher. If you put all the pieces together, Jesus is either a lunatic or he's exactly who he said he was. I want us to wrestle with that today. Who is it that you say Jesus is? We take it stepping back and look at the breadth of everything he did in his life and the consequential things that have happened in the church that he planted and how the Old Testament pointed towards it. Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for communicating to us who you are. Lord, I pray that you would quicken our hearts and minds to be able to hear your words, that you died on a cross for us. You rose from the dead. And when we step in and believe who you are, we receive all those blessings. We receive eternal life, not death. We receive eternal life with you, and we receive your Holy Spirit to begin to transform us into the people you want us to be today. Move in our hearts, move in our minds. Draw us close to you today, Lord, as we proclaim you're our Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.